the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, I'm delighted that one of our favourite contributors to The Last Word has produced his memoir of his time in Gaelic football in Kerry and also growing up in Kerry and all the things that have come out of that. Mark O'Shea has been such a valuable voice on The Last Word ever since he retired, and he has now written his book, O'Shea, A Kerry Family, A Football Dynasty. Mark O'Shea, thank you very much for
being with us.
Good
to be here with you, Matt. Thanks a lot.
And of course, it is family all over this book, because yourself and the brothers, the only time ever that there have been three brothers on an All-Stars team in the same time.
Yeah, obviously you'd be chuffed when you hear that, but it was, look, I was asked to write a book when I retired, Matt, and I felt maybe it was probably the wrong time, because maybe a bit raw just a year after, you know, you go out. And my last year, I was actually not starting on the team. So,
which you found tough.
I did find tough. I did. I found it really tough, because I felt the only influence that you could have was when you were playing, as such. But then Trevor Twomley, Sports and Darcy, came to me and he said, maybe a year or two ago, he says, you know, would you not think about writing one now? And I felt the time was right then at that stage. And
a little bit of distance, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Adds a bit of maturity to thinking about it.
I think so, without doubt, Matt. And I think that definitely helped. Because, you know, when you look back now, Matt, and you look at, say, you know, my last year, you definitely would say that Eamon Fitzmaurice was well justified in his decisions of not starting me, you know. And like, whilst it was tough at the time, it was definitely possibly, you know, the right call to make.
But sure, Mark, in fairness, in Gaelic football terms, you were practically geriatric at that stage. What were you, 35, 36?
36.
I mean, how many 36-year-olds feel that they're entitled to be part of a team that's chasing down an All-Ireland?
True. I'll give you a funny one, Matt. That year, the National League final, the 2016, 100 years commemoration for the Easter Rising.
And your birthday.
And my birthday. And there I was marking Bernard Brogan. We were absolutely destroyed in the middle of the field, and it was like the sea was opening up in front of me. Bernard was kicking points for fun. And the following day,
that wasn't your fault. It was all the fact that it was out further out the pitch. The ball was benocked.
Yeah. You like the way I put that one in there. And then, of course, the Moss wrote his article the following day and threw me under the bus threw Aidan O'Mahony under the bus and fell out with him for a bit after that.
But how long did it take to repair relationships after
2 days, I'd say. 2 days. We'd be a kind of a family now, Matt. We just say it straight out and it's done, you know. But it was interesting, actually, at the launch the last night. The Gooch, Tomás said, somebody said, have you anything nice to say about your brother? And Tomás said, we're not really a lovey-dovey family. And the Gooch turned around and he says, I'm not so sure about that. I remember I had fisticuffs with Mark one day and Tomás was straight in to help out and Dara and Fergal hadn't even reached at that stage, he says.
They're all piling in on your behalf.
On my behalf. So
and you've been given out about the Gooch stealing your clothes, which comes up in the book as well.
We went to South Africa in 2002. I didn't really room much with the Gooch, but I did in 2002 in South Africa. And we'd these big bags because obviously you're traveling long distance. And I remember just every evening he just went straight to my bag and just took out the jeans. And the following morning, the jeans were destroyed, you know, and you'd be looking at the jeans then trying to put them on and had to bring them down to get them cleaned. But he was a character. And you know what? Like, one of the best players I ever played with was the Gooch. He was just an incredible footballer. And it's hard to believe, Matt, when we started off in 2002, that the Gooch was 10.5 stone and I was 11 stone. And you fast forward maybe 10 years and you're 2 stone heavier, you know. But this guy just, he had it all. He had it all, left leg, right leg. He was without doubt, you know, will go down as one of the greatest Kerry players that ever played.
If you'd come along 20 years later, would the two of you have been picked on the basis that you'd have been discarded as too lightweight for football?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. You know, I suppose the way the game was gone, I suppose with the new rules now again, you'd have some chance perhaps. But yeah, definitely, I think with the way the game has gone. Matt, when I finished up, Gaelic footballers were like rugby players. They were just so conditioned. Everything was completely different. Strength and conditioning had taken over, and the Gaelic football was completely different.
But indeed, and there seems to be a bit of frustration, I think you express in the book as well, that when you got to that stage, you were playing in sort of system defences where you were standing off players and sort of handing on players to the next man,
yeah.
rather than doing what you had been famed for throughout your career, yeah. which you had learned growing up, which was the defending.
Yeah.
And there's one fantastic photograph of you getting a block in against Tyrone amongst the photographs.
Yeah.
Just literally putting your body on the line, but also beating your own man, which seemed to go a little bit out of the game a bit.
Yeah, but like Matt, I like that was growing up in my house in Ardvoher in Ventry, where I'd be playing against my three brothers who were all physically stronger and bigger than me, and I'd have to come up with ways to try and stop them. So I'd wait until they had taken their four steps and I knew they were going to solo or kick the ball and I'd get down. So I actually practiced all that when I was like 6, 7, 8 years of age, a young fella, and I was so blessed to have my three older brothers. But to answer your question, it is a dying art in the game. I think the defending, I think it is, like you look at it. And I think, you know, and I met Jim Gavin recently and spoke about the rules. But the one thing I never said to him was the rule that I'd love to see gone from the game is the mark. Because I always felt as a defender, Matt, if you won a ball, a forward won a ball off a defender, he still had to take his man on, still had to try and get in close to goal. Now all the reward is with the forward. And, you know, I think the art of defending is certainly dying. Now with the new rules, I think slowly but surely, I think we'll find defenders marking one-on-one, as we know, three players stay up. So I think we will hopefully see defending coming through again.
I'm just going to stay a little bit at the end of your career, because Eamon Fitzmaurice was the manager when Tomás wrote that piece for the Irish Independent, giving Eamon Fitz the chance to drop you off the team or not start you in matches. And you also write in the book, he had this thing, he's very much into the New Zealand mantra, no dickheads, that you ought to have to have a degree of humility and bind. And you turned around to him at the end and said, you know what, Eamon, you've turned into a bit of a dickhead yourself. And he laughed, in fairness
to
him.
He did, I remember it well. I was sure I was only having a bit of a laugh. And I remember I said it to him, I'd say it was shortly after the game, we were having a beer and I said it to him, and as only Eamon would do, he took it in the best humour, you know, because he knew it was, you know, just, you know.
You might have thought it about Jack O'Connor, but would you have said it to him?
No, look, you see, all these things, Matt, with Eamon, obviously Eamon, I was so lucky. I had Paddy, I had Jack, I had Pat O'Shea, I had Eamon. I had great Kerry managers and took something from all of them. And Jack was an outstanding manager as well. And, you know, there's obviously there's stories in the book that...
Yeah, well, I'll put it this way to you, Mark. That clearly you loved Paddy. I mean, he was your uncle and he's clearly a hero and that just comes through the pages so much. I think you love Pat O'Shea as well as a great manager. You would have had an enormous amount of time for Eamon Fitz. But but when it came to Jack O'Connor, I got the impression that you'd respect him and his achievements, but you certainly wouldn't love him. You'd probably even be maybe a bit stretched to admire him.
Look, Jack came in 2004, 2003, just when Paddy had went. And look, he did a great job. I was there at the start of that, not getting it a run in because I was with the Gaeltacht in the All-Ireland Club Series. And when Jack came in, I was on the outside looking in. He had brought in players like Aidan O'Mahony, Paul Galvin, and these guys had performed. So all of a sudden, we were back with Kerry and now I wasn't getting the game. So I had to prove myself all over to Jack again. And I did that. And I found him to be a great manager. Certainly, of course, there were situations where I wasn't happy, you know. And I say that in the book. I think it was about the time where Jack wrote his own book and he said the O'Shea's were hard to handle. And I found that tough, I suppose, you know, but look.
Why did he say that, do you think?
I'd say he was probably talking about Dara and Tomás. but
were you hard to handle?
No, I certainly wasn't hard to handle, Matt, I can assure you, because all I ever wanted to do was play for Kerry. And, you know, being a school teacher, you were off the months of June, July and August. So I actually saw myself as a professional footballer, and that's the long and the short of it. And so I certainly wasn't hard to handle, and I knew that come the business end of the championship, I knew that I'd be ready to perform. And I don't mean to sound cocky when I say that, but that's the way I felt. And I think Jack knew that as well, maybe. And, you know, I suppose when I saw that then, I suppose I found that tough to take, you know, because there was never an issue with me playing. I'd always play to the best of my ability and just leave everything on the line for Kerry. And I think I showed that the first year he came in, you know. Like, you know, I think that year I had to prove myself. And again, I hadn't won an All-Ireland at that stage, Matt, so I was trying to win an All-Ireland, win my first.
You won five of them.
Yeah.
But you do say in the book you'd have given up one of them if you could have won the club championship with Ann Gaeltacht, because you did lose one final.
We did. Oh, look, Matt, losing finals, I lost. You said there I won five. I lost five as well with Kerry. You know, people don't see that. Lost 2002, 2005, 2008, 2011 and 2015. So it's nice to win five, but when you lose five as well, it's tough to take. But I always say that when we lost, it kind of nearly propelled you on to, you know, glory the following year. But losing that club final was huge, because where I come from, West Kerry, Ventry, it's the wild Atlantic Way. It's you know, you've got the coast, you've got the Irish language, you've got the Irish, you know, everything that's beautiful. You see everyone coming down to our area come the summer. And when we got as far as the All-Ireland Club Final in 2004, you had people coming home from Australia, coming home from America. It was huge. And you know, we played Caltra, Michael Meehan. I often have a conversation with Michael Meehan since about, you know, it was billed the Meehans against the O'Shea's, and it was far more than that, I can tell you, because the amount of people in the Gaeltacht and Caltra who had invested so much into it, and just so lucky to get there, but obviously so disappointing to not get over the line. But still great memories with my club, that you start with your club, Matt, you finish with your club. The Gaeltacht, they've been so good to me, and I've been so lucky that I grew up where I grew up.
Indeed. But Kerry, still, the O'Shea thing, let me talk a little bit more to you about that, because Paddy is one of these great legendary figures. He had, wasn't it, 8 All-Irelands with Kerry, and he was a character, and that comes across in the book, and you write very lovingly in the stories of all the little stunts and things he'd be up to and the rest of it. But was that an advantage or a disadvantage to you in the sense of getting onto the team? Because he was manager when you were first breaking on the scene. Were there accusations of preferential treatment? Was it then more difficult even after he went, because maybe Jack O'Connor was suspicious of the three nephews of the man he'd replaced?
Well, I think it was definitely a disadvantage in the sense that, I mean, nepotism was the common theme, Matt. I remember in 1998, Tomás played against Cork in Killarney. He was marking Aidan Dorgan, and it was Tomás's first game with Kerry, and someone shouted from the terrace, "Bring on Beatrice," as in our grandmother, you know. As you know, so that's where that was going. We've seen it now this weekend with the Ryder Cup, with the shouting and the so there was a bit of that going on. So you kind of had to perform above expectations to try and get onto the team. And I always make the point that physically I wasn't as maybe as strong as Dara or Tomás were at the time. And it took me a while to get there. But yeah, it was tough the first year or two. I remember I marked Johnny Crowley in a county championship game and did a really good job, and left Paddy with no choice but to bring me in after that, you know. And that's how it worked out. And there was one morning, actually, we were in the Burlington Hotel staying, the team, and we just, like, you'd have these cliques on the team, and Paddy came down, I remember him still to this day, and we were outside the lift, and there was Darrow Kinnaird, Darrow O'Shea, my brother Tomás, Idan McArlt, and Paddy comes down, he sees the five Ungaeltacht boys together, and he says, "Lads, will ye spread out, please? You'll get me sacked," he says, you know. So, you know, but we had won the county championship twice, so we felt as though we were, you know, at that stage, I suppose, fully had gained the reputations.
In fact, you mentioned there about the way that rumours go around and sledging from the sidelines. There's one story which really caught my attention as well, around the time when your father died and you went to play for Kerry just a few days later in a replay down at Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, a replay in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on the Saturday.
Yeah, and the story went around about what a Cork player had allegedly said to you, and you say it just didn't happen.
No,
he never said.
No,
tell
no.
that story.
Well, yeah, like I was marking a Cork player, and allegedly he had said to me that my father's up in the stand watching me, where's your father, kind of a thing, you know. But that never happened, Matt. And the amount of people that went around saying that story afterwards. And every time it was said to me, I just said, no, that never happened, you know. And like, I mean, we look, Kerry and Cork people sometimes don't like each other when we take each other on the football
field.
Paddy
liked enough Cork people.
He did, but there was always respect on that, you know. There was always respect on and off the field. I mean, I look at the years I had playing against Cork. Cork were outstanding when we played. I mean, we won the All-Ireland in 2009. Cork won it in 2010. They were always hot on our heels. And
that 2009 final, still, you should have been a man down from the actual throw-in.
Look, Matt, you're just still bitter about that.
I am still very bitter about that. And Ty Kennelly has been in the studio sitting in the sea chair, but he should have been sent off at the throw-in.
Yeah, well, geez, yeah, he sailed close to the, definitely sailed close to wins at that time, all right. And but look, getting Tig home from Australia was massive. Like, he was such a player for us and a breath of fresh air. And the energy he brought, this guy coming in, breaking bones, he'd be back after 3 weeks.
His,
you know,
own or somebody else's?
His own, in fairness to him. But yeah, he was like deadly. And, you know, we just totally bought into Tig when he came home, because we knew he wanted to come home and play for Kerry.
Look, there's so many, there's 100 things that I could talk to you about, and we are going to set up a separate magnified extended interview. We can talk about many of those things. But just to finish, you actually got away brilliantly without actually getting any really serious injuries until towards the end of your career. How much of that do you think was taking your sea dips in the Atlantic after training with Ungoeltacht?
Oh, definitely, Matt. I was so lucky. Aidan O'Shea in 2009, the young Aidan O'Shea from Mayo, came down on top of my medial ligament, and I was out for 3 months. But other than that, I was very lucky. And as you say, the Wild Atlantic Way, the West Kerry, every evening, Matt, I'd go into the salt water and dust myself down. I still do it to this day. Sean Boylan used to always say it to me when I went up to him with glandular fever 1 year. He said, "Just breathe that sea air, my friend," he said, and that's what I do. I really enjoy it, and just blessed where we come from, Matt. Very lucky. Ardivoher, West Kerry, that area. I know I live in Tralee, but that'll always be home.
The book, O'Shea, A Kerry Family, A Football Dynasty, Mark O'Shea, with help from Adrian Russell. It's a fantastic read. As a Corkman, I really enjoyed it. It was great stuff.
Thanks very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.